The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 7-0. I am your ORJ Ochoa. He is your 7-5, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, empty nester, starting to enjoy life a little bit more, I imagine. Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Friday to you, sir.
TGIF, my man. Yes, it is Friday, and first week of the NFL season's in the books, and getting ready to gear up for a great weekend. I think we saw a game last night. Tampa Bay and Carolina was kind of a sleeper. And wasn't it kind of odd with the weather delay and everything else that was going on with that game? But at the very end, Tampa Bay ended up winning it. But, it is a second week in the NFL season. I couldn't be any happier.
It was a boring game, dude. I mean, it was like a sleepy game. That would be the word I would use. And I don't like that Panthers uniform combination. Like the teal, like if you're going to do that teal, you got to wear silver pants or teal pants. It looked awkward. And dude, Cam looks so bad.
I don't know. That's what they were talking about during the course of the game, is that I don't know if they were trying to make excuses for him because maybe it's his foot, but yeah, their offense looked very pedestrian. And I know they're trying to use Christian McCaffrey as their featured guy, but, I mean, teams are figuring it out. And, you know, you're right. It kind of coincides with the weather. You know, when it's sleeping out – well, excuse me, when it's raining outside, you know, you have the tendency to look, dude, this is a great day, a great night to sleep or a great day to sleep. And that kind of reminded me of that whole setting with you know, with that atmosphere. And certainly the game was kind of like that. It was kind of boring and looked like both teams at times were sleepwalking.
Yeah. Well, thankfully it's over. And I tweeted this out from the Blogging the Boys Twitter account. And I asked people, like, who would you rather have right now, Cam or Dak? I mean, it feels like a weird question because so many people have hated on Dak, but I feel like the answer is really easy. Dak looks incredible right now. And Cam looks like Basuda.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. As far as the fashion realm of it, I have to give that because whatever Cam Newton had on last night, I'm sure you saw his post-interview. I don't know what that look was, but I think only he could pull that off, I guess. But it was really, really kind of unique. It had like a headband on and you know what I'm talking about. You saw the post interview, and I think that's kind of like, okay, well, I think everybody's more intrigued than what, at this point with Cam Newton, what he's going to wear after the game than actually how he plays. Because if you're going by style and just the shock value, he wins in that category every time.
He has quite the fashion sense. He said on All or Nothing that he doesn't want to wear the same thing 2 weeks in a row. So I believe that he might be starting to run out of ideas. It's Friday the 13th, Tony, which means there's some scary stuff in the air. It doesn't feel right to me if it's not in October. But I guess it is, you know, a good theme for right now. I mean, like what scares you this week, I suppose, when it comes to the Redskins. But before we talk about the Redskins, I saw you had a tweet about DeMarcus Lawrence, right? Was it about the jersey thing that everybody was talking about all week with Saquon
Barkley?
Yeah,
you know, I really just didn't. I was, you know, following up on some of it today. And, you know, I saw something on Instagram this morning where D-Law was still, like, apologizing, felt like he had to, you know, apologize for his actions. And, you know, I don't think not really apologizing, but all the haters and everything about him not signing an autograph after the game, him walking by, and the kid has his, you know, he has a Giants jersey on. And, you know, to me, it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it's on Friday and we're still talking about it. So my whole deal is that it's bad parenting on that dad or mom's part, because first of all, if you go to a game and you're playing an arch rival, the Cowboys are playing in their building, and your kid or whoever it is has the enemy's Giants jersey on, you're going to walk by him and say, you know, look, I may not have time to sign an autograph, but I'm sure the hell not going to sign yours with that Giants jersey on. So I have no qualms with that at all. So, you know, my whole point of the tweet, RJ, is that D-Law, he's so genuine. I think that's why we like him, because he's real, and I think he appreciates everything and appreciates and doesn't take it for granted what he's gotten, and he's a wealthy guy now. And when something like that, I think he's very sensitive to it. But still, when I saw that, it shouldn't even just be perpetuated anymore. It should be done, because, as I said, that shouldn't even be an issue.
It's kind of wild how much that was talked about. Honestly, like, it doesn't.
Oh, no.
I mean, you tell me. I feel like professional athletes don't get to sign for autographs all the time. But I mean, it is what it is. So thank goodness it's behind us, and the Cowboys do play the Redskins on Sunday. And I don't know if you saw this, Tony. Speaking of Twitter, Josh Norman is talking a little bit of trash. Did you see this?
You know, that's one of the things that I was going to talk about, but I have not seen the latest on Josh, you know, Josh Norman and what he's tweeted out, but it doesn't surprise me. What did he tweet out?
So Josh, obviously Dak Prescott had quite the performance last week, NFC Offensive Player of the Week and whatnot. Congratulations to him. That did not seem to impress Josh Norman too much. He was asked about Dak and he said, "You stand back there in the pocket all day and go through your first, second, and third reads and come back to your first one. Okay, cool. Anybody can do that. You could throw the ball if that's the case." I think he was telling the reporter, "You could throw the ball if that was the case." The reporter that asked him the question. So, I don't know that this is like trash talk, but I mean, Dak Prescott was not sacked a single time against Miami. Not in Miami, goodness gracious, against New York. But, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't feel like a wise thing for Josh Norman to say, considering Dak Prescott is 5-1 against Washington.
Well, exactly. And to me, if you have that much time to go through your first, second, third, and back to your first read, what's that say about your offensive line? They are not sniffing the quarterback. And he has all day to throw the football. And so, I mean, whatever the case it may be, you know, I know quarterbacks that lock on maybe their first, go to their second, you know, second read option and throw the ball. I mean, they don't even go through their progressions. And look, it wouldn't be the NFL, the NFC East, if there wasn't some smack talking between Dallas and the Washington Redskins. So again, right. I just got to put a little gasoline on fuel on the fire and let's get this party started.
I agree. Although, as much as I would love for it to be trash talk, because I'm with you, like, I want to have fun with that and I want to enjoy it and everything, I actually don't think what he said is that bad. I mean, because what he's saying is true, right? I mean, he's saying, like, yeah, I mean, if you have time to make all your reads, it's not too difficult. You know what
I mean?
That's
a good problem to have, right? Because,
exactly.
Josh Norman, and that's the problem with not getting any rust from the guys up front. I said, I'll tell you what, you put those defensive backs in a really, really tough situation when they have that much time, the quarterback has that much time to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to the Washington matchup specifically in a second and players that do kind of make us a little nervous. Before we get there, though, I want to talk about Taco Charlton. You've mentioned before, some people you've spoken to have said that, you know, Taco, you know, needs some work. However you want to word that, however you want to look at that. And Taco has reportedly, you know, needed an attitude adjustment at times. That's what we heard last year when he was inactive. And Taco has had quite the rough beginnings to a career. He was inactive last week, a healthy scratch, which is not a good sign from a former first-round draft pick. But so Taco seems to be on the trade block. It's what we're hearing. Brian Broaddus reported that there was at least one team who was interested in Taco for a player swap. We don't know who that team was. But, Tony, During the middle of Thursday Night Football, Chris Mortensen reported that Minkah Fitzpatrick, the Dolphins defensive back, is available in a trade. And so everybody wants to trade Taco to Miami now for Minkah Fitzpatrick. First of all, do you think Taco is traded, regardless of where the location is?
Yeah, to me, that's a great question, because first of all, what are you going to get for Taco Charlton? I mean, what, as far as the value, if I'm a GM and I'm a team looking for to upgrade and trade a player, I don't know if Taco Charlton, again, it just depends on what I got to give up. But I don't think, Taco Charlton has showed me enough, except he was drafted in the first round. That's about all I've seen. And yes, I think we've seen some glimpse of just his potential in the preseason. But again, I think if you want to take a flyer and then you are trying to unload players like the Miami Dolphins, because I think they're the best example of tanking after watching that debacle loss last weekend, then maybe there's some value there. But he just hasn't really shown anything. And if you don't trade him, and he's not going to fit into your game plan or the guys that you have in the rotation, then you got to play him, because right now, if he's going to be inactive for every week, every week, and he's not in the plans, and yes, I think you have to shop him around and see if you can get value. But I think it just comes, what are you going to get in return? And I think Miami would be the best case scenario, because they do want to unload a lot of salaries. They do want to unload players, because again, I don't think their expectation is to win that many games this year.
I agree with you. And clearly Miami wants to hoard draft picks. And so I don't know if it's something like, if you look at, I think everybody agrees that you would be fortunate to get a fifth round draft pick for Taco. So if we assign, let's be generous in that regard, let's assign a fifth round draft pick in terms of being his value. So Taco's worth a fifth round draft pick. In no world are they trading Minkah Fitzpatrick straight up for Taco Charlton. It's just not happening. So maybe you've got to give up Taco and a second. You know what I mean? Maybe it's Taco and a third. I don't think anybody wants to go through another offseason without a first round draft pick. It wasn't that much fun. Obviously, it was worth it. But if the deal is Taco and a second round draft pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick, I don't know that you're getting somebody with your second rounder next year that can be as impactful as he can now. So I'm down with that trade personally.
Well, and in the Cowboys, I think he would be, he'd be maybe an upgrade if they're at a position in the secondary. But I think when you look at what the Cowboys have right now, I think they feel pretty good with what they have. So again, it just depends on what they got to give up, what you get in return. And, right now I just kind of, wait and it's kind of want to wait and see game and see what happens. But, Taco Charlton, I just we haven't seen enough over the last 3 years since he's been in Dallas. So I think they got into the crossroads where, look, the Cowboys are smart. They have film on him. There's some potential there. There's some spark. So maybe that's enough to create some value, but not as much as you're wanting to give up.
Right. I had an interesting tweet sent to me on Friday morning in the middle of all this. And so last year when the Cowboys went to Washington, they lost. That was the snap infraction. It was right after that they traded for Amari Cooper. So if tradition holds, they'll go to Washington, hopefully not lose, but then trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's what everybody wants. But the question was, and I'll ask it to you, Tony, would you knowingly take a loss for the Cowboys? Like if you could control that, would you trade a loss on Sunday to be able to land Minkah Fitzpatrick? So a short-term loss, obviously you're losing a game for what is conceivably a long-term gain with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I don't know. It's a great question, but I don't think any team deliberately wants to, have to do that unless it's really going to be an upgrade. And I don't think you're going to lose a game in the National Football League anyway.
Right.
And I think it's interesting to your point. When you look at the loss last year, that's kind of like propelled this whole Amari Cooper. That was right you're going into the bye week. And then you kind of look where, I don't know. We talked about it on the last shows. He's what the Cowboys are like now 10-3 since an Amari Cooper trade.
Nine and three. Well, you're counting
last week.
Well, you're counting this Sunday. This Sunday would make him 10-3. Yeah.
Well, 9-3 or 10-3. It's a great record since they traded for him. But you know what? I don't believe in that. I think that you just have to play it out. And if there's something that's imminent, that's, you know, as Jerry says, imminent. What's the definition of imminent? As he always says, you know, the contract at Dak Prescott is imminent. Well, imminent, it means something's supposed to be getting done. But if it's imminent with some type of trade where you can upgrade and get better, but I don't think you sacrifice losing a game deliberately. But if it does happen and it's still, you know, something that's going to create value for your franchise, your team, yeah, I think it's something very, very seriously you got to look into.
It's going to be a big topic over the weekend, Minka Fitzpatrick. I will say this, although you're right, I think we both agree the Dolphins are intent on tanking, but the Dolphins do play the Cowboys next week. And so, again, I mean, I don't know that, you know, it's hard to calculate where the Dolphins are at because they clearly want to lose. I don't know that they want to trade Minka Fitzpatrick to the team that they play, you know, next, because I don't think a trade happens between now and Sunday's game. So, I mean, I don't know. Is that a factor? Maybe. Is it not? I don't know, because the Dolphins are such a weird team because of the way they're like taking their, you know, their approach to this whole season. But Minka is something to put on hold because the Cowboys do visit Washington on Sunday. Do you know, Tony? I wrote about this. This is the fourth different quarterback in a row the Cowboys will face when it comes to the Redskins. The fourth one in a row.
I know that it's been kind of a revolving door there in the Redskins, but it doesn't surprise me. Because there hasn't really been any consistency on that team.
Well, so they played Kirk Cousins, right? That was the last kind of consistent one. And then that was the end of 2017. Mm-hmm. And last season, the first game, they played Alex Smith. That was when they lost. And then the second game, on Thanksgiving, they played Colt McCoy because Alex Smith had already been hurt. And so now they get Case Keenum.
Right.
You know, we got a couple of days between now and kickoff. Are you going to lose any sleep at all this Friday the 13th because of Case Keenum?
Well, it's back to Friday the 13th. I did not know that it was Friday the 13th. This morning I do a psyching class and it started at 9:00, and all of a sudden she's talking about, oh, today's Friday the 13th, and I'm like, damn, it is. Now I wasn't even thinking about it. But then as I get into the class, I felt like, man, I feel like I'm about ready to fall out. It is Friday the 13th. I don't want something to happen on me Friday the 13th and, you know, have some type of heat stroke or something like that. You start about a full moon. But, you know, to your point, you know, with the Redskins, you know, Case Keenum has shown the whole deal with him being in Denver last year was just really didn't work out. But he's been a journeyman. He's, you know, his finer moments was in Minnesota. And he has potential to, you know, to be able to execute and make plays. And, you know, last week against the Eagles, you know, for three quarters, they looked pretty damn solid on the road. I mean, it's a team that they felt like that they could, you know, obviously were the underdog playing the Eagles, but obviously the Eagles came back and ended up winning. But he's a guy that you have to force, that you have to be that needs to be reckoned with. You know, their whole deal, RJs, we saw this last week, is that Adrian Peterson was inactive. Then they get their starting running back. He's out with a torn meniscus. And now Adrian Peterson is going to be the featured running back. And the Cowboys give up 5.9 yards rushing last week, which is quite a bit. And so, you know, to me, you know, Case Keenum is a threat. But it's like any time the Cowboys play a quarterback that can throw, then all of a sudden it's got to become their front seven. How can they put pressure? But, you know, to get an old guy like Adrian Peterson going, that would be the Cowboys' biggest problem if they allowed that.
Well, you're right. So Darius Geis is going to miss this game and probably the rest of the season. There are some conflicting reports when it comes to Jonathan Allen, the defensive lineman, whether he will or won't play. It looks like he's not going to, but it's not impossible that he would. So you're right. I mean, you've got these journeyman dudes at quarterback, at running back. I mean, I mean, Adrian Peterson, I fully believe there will be one moment on Sunday where he has this oh crap run. You know, he'll have one moment where you're like, yep, that's Adrian Peterson. He'll do something really special. And then the rest of the game, I think, will be generally tepid. But who is a guy on that team that you are worried about? Like, who's somebody that, you know, you would be legitimately concerned about wrecking this game for the Cowboys? Obviously against the Cowboys.
Well, if I look offensively, I look at, you know, we mentioned Case Keenum. Now, here's the thing with Adrian Peterson. Whenever you test that guy and challenge him, for some reason, the guy just comes out there and he's just as hard. He's a horse, man, and he just runs, you know, hard. And he had over 1,000 yards rushing last year. But their offensive line, you know, Trent Williams, that whole deal with Trent Williams holding out. And, you know, their offensive line is a little suspect. But last week, as I mentioned, they were able to have some success on the offense. And when I look at that, I look at those are the biggest keys of components you have to, you know, just look and key on. But wide receivers, you know, they got Terry McLaurin. He's not, you know, DeSean Jackson. I mean, he's not a big time player. Trey Quinn is another wide receiver. I tell you, a guy that really seems to me is able to, I wouldn't say he's a cowboy killer like Santana Moss. We can go back, and wasn't Santana Moss a cowboy killer back in the day? I mean, I think Cowboy fans still have nightmares of Santana Moss. But Jordan Reed, the tight end, I think he's a nice player. And he has had his moments with the Cowboys and has been able to make plays. So I think collectively, when I look, we mentioned Case Keenum. We mentioned, you know, mentioned Adrian Peterson because he was inactive last week. Now he's a starter. And I think it hurt him to not be active, and he was a healthy scratch. But I think along with, you know, those two guys – and then Jordan Reed, the tight end. To me, offensively, those are the three dudes you really got to count for.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I mean, those are some names, certainly. Terry McLaurin had a big week last week, obviously his first game in the NFL coming out of Ohio State. Actually, the Ohio State. That's my bad. I really hate, by the way, when people use it for like, oh, yeah, the Boise State or the, you know, Oklahoma State. It's like, dude, there's one the. You can't,
I'm used to that the because my wife's an Ohio State alum, so I just hear it. I mean, I hear it numerous, multiple times every year.
That's really cool. I mean, I'm, you know.
Is it really?
Dude, it is cool. Like, I'm an Aggie, and we don't have a lot of cool things.
I don't think my wife's listening to this podcast, so I don't think it's that cool.
I think it's the coolest thing ever, and I think that they thought of it first, so they should get to use it. That's why it's really dumb when other people try to use it. But
yeah, I understand that. You can't. Yeah, there's only the.
There's one the, and it's Ohio State. Exactly. Although even though they didn't get it officially trademarked, but that's neither here nor there. So Terry McLaurin, I think, is great. Man, I hadn't thought about Santana Moss in a long time. That sucked.
I didn't mean to run our party on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's okay. Obviously, the Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL and didn't surrender a sack last week. I think Ryan Kerrigan, though, is still a name that you have to watch out for.
Yep.
He's one of the more prominent players on their team. Landon Collins didn't really have a huge week one, but, you know, he was their big free agency acquisition. But, I mean, I don't know. Tell me if I'm, you know, a little optimistic here. I said this last week for the Giants game. There's nobody on that team that I am legitimately terrified of. It feels like they're just a bunch of dudes, and they're an NFL team, and I'm not saying they're like these average Joes, but it's just a team with some dudes, and the Cowboys should win easily.
Well, and not Now, easily, I'm gonna tap breakers on this team. I mean, the team of the 750, and I just know this, that in the National Football League, I mean, guys, I use this cliche all the time, is that they're getting paid just like us. And there's a reason why on that 53-man roster these dudes can play. But you mentioned Ryan Kerrigan. For me, it seems to me that dude always shows up. And when you watch the Cowboys historically, he has always kind of been the dude, you know, from that linebacker position. You mentioned Jonathan Allen. Not for sure if he's going to play or not. Darren Payne inside, you know, the nose tackle. He's a, mm-hmm. He's a load. And then Landon Collins, I don't know, and Josh Norman. Last week they gave up a lot of yards to really good offense. Now, they're playing, they're at home and they're playing an offense that's coming off on Dak Prescott's best performance. And again, you get into a game like this where it's a NFC East rivalry game. These two teams don't like each other. And so I think things change. But again, when you're on the road and you're an offense and you're looking for guys to go at, then I think the Cowboys on offensively, the way that they mixed and matched and were able to get the ball to four different receivers and score touchdowns, I think that's going to be the continuation of that. And also this, RJ, as I heard, talking about this week and Dak Prescott, the tempo and how they are able to go up tempo and just kind of keep the pressure on the defense. I think that we'll continue to that until the defense slows that down and does something to dictate where, hey, look, all of a sudden you got to change your philosophy and you got to go a different path.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Daron Payne is certainly somebody to watch out for as well. I didn't mean to make it sound like, they had just a bunch of guys. But ultimately, again, I don't see how the Cowboys lose this game. I think if they lost this game, it would be self-inflicted errors. Do I think the Cowboys are going to come out and score 35 points again with Dak Prescott throwing four touchdowns? I don't know. I don't necessarily think that's super likely, but I do think that at one point Amari Cooper is going to burn the crap out of Josh Norman, and it's going to be hilarious given everything that happened. But I mean, so you're right. I think that Washington should be treated with respect, and there is the whole like, oh, it's a division game. You never know what can happen. These teams know each other really well. That's a true thing, and I totally acknowledge that. But overall, I still just feel like, I mean, Dallas should win this pretty easily, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, right? Yeah. Like, what 1 to 10? What's your confidence level? Mine's like an 8.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in this game. I'm more like an 8.5, 8.5, something like that. Again, I think it's a game that when you look across the board and you on paper, Dallas has got the best talent, the best team. But also, I think that the one thing about that's good about playing Washington. There's no Saquon Barkley. And I think Saquon Barkley last that first quarter, I think we're all like scratching our heads that this dude is really, he may be the best running back in the National Football League.
He really might be. Yeah.
I mean, he arguably because of what he can do. And so, I'm going to give that to Saquon because he is such a tremendous player and he does that to a lot of dudes. He makes a miss and, he'll turn a 2-yard loss into a 30-yard gain. I mean, that's just his DNA. So when I look at the matchup, Adrian Peterson, what is he, 37, 36 years old?
And he's 500 years old.
Yeah, he's older than I am. He's still running the rock. God bless him. That matchup, to me, that's a downgrade. And because Adrian Peterson obviously is over the is over the best of his days in the National Football League. So I like him on defense to be able to really hone in and dominate up front. I mean, this kind of sets up for that type of matchup. And I think the defense is feeling a little, I think they're feeling a little neglected because they didn't feel like that they made the big plays. It was all about the offense. And, they only gave up 17 points. But when you look at the yardage and everything that they're able to do, you would think that maybe the Giants would have scored more points. But the bottom line is, they only let them score twice. Two touchdowns and a field goal. And, part of that was in the probably mop-up duty at the very end of the game. So I think it sets up for a really dominating performance and a big win by the Cowboys.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So while they don't have Saquon, and and Adrian Peterson's going to get the bulk of the work here. Washington does have Chris Thompson, who's a little Lance Dunbar-esque and certainly needs to be accounted for. But, I mean, when you have Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, I don't think you're worried about any running back out in space. Hopefully not. But, again, we did see what happened with Saquon. But, you know, I was asked a lot this week about, you know, what about the defense? And I think you're right, first of all. I know they're not pissed off. I mean, they certainly want their offense to do well. But you're right. They're probably like, yo, wait a minute. We need some star moments here. And I, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence has had a long week. I think he's probably looking for a place to channel that to reference, you know, your tweet and stuff from earlier. But of the Giants' two touchdowns, because you're right, that field goal was kind of trash time. Those two touchdowns, one of them only really happened because of the Giants Saquon play in the first quarter. Without that play, and you can't take it away. I mean, it happened, and it is what it is. But without that play, that touchdown probably doesn't happen. So outside of that, I mean, you're talking they allowed one true touchdown. I mean, it looks a lot worse than it really was.
Yeah, you're right. You do the average, you know, yards per carry, and you know, that was a big play by him. So I think, you know, for defense, when you had these expectations, and I don't think that you worry about it as much as people think you do. Because when you play a running back like that, dude, he's going to get his plays. He's a great player. I mean, he is, one, again, arguably the best running back in the National Football League. And I know people, you know, don't want to hear that. I mean, Zeke's a tremendous player, but he's not the, you know, Saquon was full throttle. You know, Zeke was maybe 35, 40, maybe 50% because he hadn't done anything all preseason. I mean, he basically has been on the team for 3 days, you know, been in pads for 1 day. So, but yeah, without a doubt, this matchup with the Redskins, yes, I mean, they had some viable backups. And, you know, Adrian Peterson, again, as you mentioned, he's 500 years old, but he'll have something to prove. I mean, I think, you know, Adrian, he'll play with a chip on his shoulder. He'll try to run as hard and as efficient and as his legs will allow him to. But ultimately, I think the Cowboys, you know, they put a stop at the run and they put Case Keenum in the situation of throwing the football.
Yep.
Third and long situations. That's when they're able to create some really, really big plays.
I agree completely. Okay, Tony, let's do some bold predictions. I mean, I'm feeling it. And I did not tell you this in the pre-show rundown because I wanted to save it and get your general authentic reaction. I think your bold prediction last week had something to do with turnovers that you thought the Cowboys. So you missed on that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You still got 15 more chances. Well, 18 more because the Cowboys are going to go 19-0. So you've got 18 more chances. But shout out to Casey Cooper, 750 listener on Twitter at @CCoopTexas. That's TX. He tweeted at me as the game ended against the Giants. He told me, said, "I'm shocked at how close you were with your 750 bold prediction. You said Dak would complete 75% of his passes, then changed it to 80. He was 78% accurate." So I was right on the freaking money.
Hey, man,
when it came to my bold prediction.
About research and knowing the game. Man, that is, what a great way to start.
No big deal.
Props on that.
No big deal, but I'm a genius. So.
In your own mind, brother.
So let's do some bold predictions for Washington.
I'm going to start because I think you'll probably be thinking on the same lines that I am. I'm going to go bold prediction. I'm going to go Dak throws for over 400 yards in this game.
So he does it again, you're saying.
Like a repeat performance from last week. May not have the perfect quarterback rating, 153.9.5%. But and maybe it's not a bold prediction, but I think it's hard to be able to back it up with a performance like he did of a lifetime that he did last week. Well, hopefully this is something we're seeing, but I'm going to go ahead and say that he's going to go rogue on him again. And I'm saying he throws for over 400 yards, but only 3 touchdowns.
Oh, only 3. What a loser. I mean, just what a scrub. Okay, so 400 yards. You're buying the Dak hype.
That and the matchups against the Redskins.
Okay, I like that. Man, that would be nuts if through two games he had 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. Oh, my gosh. That would be pretty incredible. Okay, so I like that. I'm not trying to hate on it. I don't think it's that bold because I think Dak is really good. So I think it's going to happen. So, you know, good luck there. I will say this. I think that we get touchdowns from two people who did not score last week. One of them, I think Tony Pollard gets in the end zone this week. And I think Michael Gallup gets in the end zone this week. His first career touchdown came at Washington last year. That's actually the only touchdown he's ever caught away from AT&T Stadium. So I'm going to say we get touchdowns for both of them. And then I'll go a step further, and I will say that DeMarcus Lawrence has a strip sack fumble recovery. I think he's gonna hit the trifecta. DeMarcus is pissed, dude. He's ready to unleash on somebody.
Well, that's the problem, because last week I think that was part of my bold prediction for the two takeaways, two turnovers, that he was gonna have the trifecta.
Right.
Strip, fumble, and sack, and that didn't happen. But I think you're on to something. I think the matchups, when you look against the offensive line of the Redskins and then DeMarcus Lawrence, I think this needs to be more of a game where they have a chance to get to the quarterback, because we know last week when they played against Eli Manning, he wasn't the most mobile. But this one I hear, especially on the road, I think that's something you take advantage of.
Agreed. Okay, score prediction time.
I said 27-10 last week or something in that lines. I think it was 27-10. I wasn't too far away. And I believe did you go 20? Did you say 28 or is it 24?
I said like 27 to like 7. Yeah, I don't know. We were close.
Yeah, yeah. We're both at the same prediction.
Man, okay.
I tell you what, I want to get on this like a
like a
gambler with a problem.
Okay, all right. Let's do it.
I'm going to go Cowboys. I'm going to go 27. I'm going to stick a 27-10. I kind of like that. Or no, I'm going to go 28-10. I think the Cowboys will continue the onslaught of touchdowns. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing?
28-10, assuming nothing weird, would mean still no field goals, or at least no made field goals for Brett Maher. So that would be interesting. Okay, 28-10. I tell you what, because I am a believer that next week is going to be all-time Cowboys hype. Because next week they're going to have the Dolphins coming in. They're tanking people. And we've been saying this for a while, how 3-0 was a very, very, very real possibility. And so people are going to be talking about that. Everyone's going to be looking forward to the New Orleans game in week 4 next week, because nobody's going to take the Dolphins seriously. And I think that part of the reason that's going to happen, I think the Cowboys score at least 30 again. I'm going to say they win a score I always like, 31-17. I always just feel really good when that happens.
That's a good score. You can get 4 touchdowns and a field goal. I think that's a perfect prediction there.
Okay.
But hey, but look, I'm gonna go even bolder this week.
Oh, okay.
This has nothing to do with. This is kind of 1A. This has nothing to do with the Cowboy game. But you mentioned the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
And there's gonna be a player on the Patriots team that's made the news and been in. On everyone's, talking about his crazy antics off the field, and that'd be AB. I think AB, I'm going to say he has at least 150 yards in receiving yards. That is a bold, bold prediction.
Okay, I like that. I'll add a not. Let's. I like this little traditional.
Maybe not that bold, because it may only take like a couple of.
Yeah, I mean.
He could have three. Maybe, he could have 3 receptions for 150 yards against the Dolphins. That's how bad they're.
So I like throwing in a non-Cowboys one. I like yours. I'll go bold. I don't believe it, so it's really just trying to will it into existence. I think the Falcons beat the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. That would be, again, if we're right here in our assertion, if the Cowboys offense is amazing again and they're 2-0 and the Eagles are 1-1 after losing to the Falcons, dude, next week we'd be living on easy street.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The Falcons and they're playing the Falcons. They got them at home, right? So
it is in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. And if Atlanta goes out 0-2, especially in that division, man, I tell you what, it's going to be hard for them to get back, especially with, all of a sudden the unsettling about the team and everything else about themselves. So, and I tell you what, that's a big game for Atlanta.
It is. You know what they say about going 0-2 and playoff probability and whatnot. The Panthers are unfortunately in that boat already. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Okay, we got the Cowboys winning. We got some good times coming. And we got another episode of the 750 hitting you on Monday morning. So, Tony, have a good weekend. Go Sooners. Go Buckeyes. And I think go Clemson. I want to see Clemson and Syracuse be interesting again.
What, in basketball?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Enjoy your weekend,
Happy
everybody.
Friday the 13th, my man. And
that's right. Else. Keep your fingers crossed that it stays cool. So, everybody have a good one. We'll see you next week. This was the 750.